Does it seem like the tech you use every day and the home appliances you rely on just don't last like they used to? What's going on, and what's the best way to get rid of these devices once they stop working? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss all this are senior writer for the New York Times Wirecutter, Rachel Wharton, Riparyo infrastructure engineer, Mike Kennett, and Sustainability Central coordinator, Colleen McSwiggin. Welcome to the program, Rachel, Mike, and Colleen.
Thanks, Lucy.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cincinnati Public Radio contracts with Riparyo for IT services. Mike, I want to start with you. There's this term planned obsolescence. It might feel like our technology is built to kind of self-destruct. Why does it seem that way?
The answer is really twofold. It is in a company's best interest to have customers need to buy new devices every so often. There is a profit reason there. Myself, as an iPhone user, Apple really pioneered that with the iPhone. Historically, it has been pretty unfriendly to users to self-repair. And in the last few years, you see like Android devices produced by like Samsung, which historically have allowed for things like battery replacement or storage expansion. They're moving in the same direction where you have these chassis that are locked down. You don't have removable covers. So that's half of the answer. The more charitable, less corporate profit driven answer is that over time, as operating systems advance, more features get added, et cetera, those all need more processing power than your phone that you had 5 years ago is going to have. So some degradation of quality is expected over time.
Rachel, I know you looked into this with home appliances. Are those washing machines and dryers and dishwashers, are they just no longer built to last as long?
Well, it's a very complicated answer. Everything he was saying sounds right on par with what I learned. But one thing I learned, which I think is a really interesting point, is that, as one person said to me, everyone talks about their grandma's refrigerator that is still around after 45 years, but no one talks about the other 4.5 million appliances from that period that did not last that long. So one of the things I did learn was that the myth that that in our lifetimes, or even our grandparents' lifetimes, that they lasted for 40 to 50 years was kind of rarely true. And they've kind of stayed around 7 to 12 to 15. They're kind of at 10-ish now. So that was one thing I did learn, which was interesting. And that was one of the things that I was curious, was like, we all say they don't last as long. Well, how long did they used to last?
That's a great point. Colleen, you know, Mike was just talking about how some cell phones and computers and things just don't have the processing power that new uses need. When it comes to these electronics like cell phones and computers, do you recommend people try to get more use out of our devices in some way instead of just trading up to the newest model?
Yeah, if possible. Sometimes that's not possible. For instance, just in this past October, Windows 10 was not going to be supported. So that could open yourself up to security issues. But there are other things that can be done, you know, for newer things, let's just say. And one of the things that I always recommend, so I'm actually a board member for Cincinnati Computer Use, which is a nonprofit that's in Woodlawn. And we can take computers, and if they are newer computers, so I couldn't tell you the details on the processors because that's not my forte. I write the grants and help with marketing. but they can update some of those. And sometimes it's a matter of just needing a part. Sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, swiping out the hard drives and getting rid of the old hard drives that would have somebody's security issue or data on it. But yeah, that's kind of upgrade if at all possible. And we all kind of know the mantra of reduce, reuse, recycle. There's kind of a 7 R's of sustainability now that includes rethinking. So like, is there something else you could do instead of doing what you're used to doing? Refusing something, so not taking something at all if you don't need it. Reduce, reuse, repair. And again, that's kind of repair, refurbish. and then recycle if you can't fix it, and then rot, which is, you know, composting or disposal in a trash landfill if there's no other option. But kind of the further you can stay to the beginning of that list, the less resources you're using.
We're talking about how to get more life out of our home devices, whether they really aren't built to last, and how to dispose of them responsibly. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Mike, when it comes to getting more use out of our computers, for example, and I know you know this very well because I bug you all the time with these questions, what are some of the habits that we have that are causing the early demise of our electronics? How are we mistreating them?
The two biggest things are usually heat and dust. So for an average user, for example, if you're someone that is sitting at home, like with your laptop on your lap, you've got a blanket under you, you may be blocking your vents on your laptop because that blanket is just, they're either sitting on it or that blanket's like folding up into it. Those fans are pulling in all of that dust and all that fabric. If you have animals going around, that pet hair can get in there too.
I feel so seen right now when you said pet hair.
Yeah, that all just like collects in those fans. So over time, you know, if you clean those out, those will go a long way. The other big thing is batteries. A lot of people don't know that charging a lithium ion battery to its max capacity all the time actually increases the rate at which the battery degrades.
So if you're blowing my mind here, Mike.
Yeah. So if you're charging your phone to full every night, or your laptop to full every night, you're going to run into issues. Now, all of these devices do have smart charging settings now that hold them to between 80 or 90%. And then maybe tops off like in the morning when you wake up. I recommend everyone have those settings turned on. That extends the life of your battery greatly.
Huh. So you were talking about having that laptop on your lap or on a blanket or something. Does that mean you should sit at a desk, or you should get some kind of special laptop pillow or gizmo or something?
You can sit at a desk if you know, I don't want to tell someone don't sit at your couch with your laptop. You can get trays to sit at, which will be great for your hardware. You know, you can buy cooling trays that have fans under them that will also blow air up into the laptop. There's a lot of things to do. It's just that's probably the main thing I would tell people is to try to keep those off of fabric surfaces.
Okay. Rachel, how complicated is it to fix these devices ourselves when something goes wrong with them?
Oh, to fix a refrigerator or a stove or a dishwasher? I mean, if you have a very, very all mechanical machine, which I would actually recommend if you wanted something to buy something that would last, buy it for life, to last forever, you could probably, like, those are the reasons those last forever because the parts are generic. They can be easily swapped out. There's like almost no computer or even digitalized components on them. A tinkerer could probably replace and repair those. Most of the appliances we're big home appliances we're buying now, it's very, very difficult to do it yourself. It's even difficult for professionals. They change often. They have multiple computers and computer cards. If I'm using the terminology correctly, you often have to have a handheld tool to run diagnostics. Over the years, parts have, instead of having like 15 individual parts, they've become like one big one. So that would have to be replaced instead of just being able to do a screw. So I would say it's not very possible for most of the things that we own now.
Mike, is it possible for computers, cell phones? I mean, you said some of these companies are making it harder and harder to do that, right?
So that's dependent on the item. A laptop, your average user could probably replace a SSD, replace a fan, replace like a stick of RAM pretty easily with a good guide. When you get into things like a CPU or a screen or a Wi-Fi card, something of that nature, that's when you're starting to get beyond what I would expect an average user to be able to do just with a guide.
Yeah. Do you think it's okay to use these third-party services, Mike, like YouBreak, iFix, and places that say, hey, I can fix it for you, instead of going, if you have an iPhone, to the Apple Store or going to some Android, you know, place that can will do it for you? Or are there security concerns using places like that?
I think that's just dependent on the person and what they need. I would always recommend, if you have an iPhone, you buy AppleCare. At the price it costs, you're not going to get better service than you will through AppleCare anywhere else. For like a Dell laptop, you should get the extended warranty. You can get the warranty levels that have them send someone to you. I think ultimately things like that need to be factored into the cost of what you're buying.
Yeah. And I know there are sites that have these illustrated disassembly and repair guides for a lot of popular technology products. Stephen, our technical director, just told me that. So shout out to Stephen. Rachel, what kind of role do government regulations play with stuff like this, especially when it comes to appliances and how they're made and how long they last?
In my reporting, every single repair person, most of whom who had 20 years of experience in the gig, told me that that was really the biggest shift. They've done a lot of good. They've made things a lot more efficient. They've made things safer. But they changed the way machines were made. So they were basically made in the same straightforward way for decades. And then regulations also get strengthened and evaluated every X amount of years. So machines get more complicated, so they can use less water or less heat, or work around not having a pilot light if it's a gas stove. So the machines get more complicated, then they change again. And the people who manufacture them have to scramble to change them. The people who repair them have to scramble to learn how to fix the new ones, and then it happens again. So machines get more complicated, and they get more complicated to repair as well.
Colleen, if you really, really can't make your cell phone or laptop work anymore, you were talking about, you know, places that they can be donated. Can you tell us a little bit more about that process, or how you can responsibly dispose of these gizmos if it's not worth donating?
Yeah. So first of all, I want to give a shout out to Hamilton County Resource. So they are the recycling part of Hamilton County, and they have a great webpage actually that if you have just oddball things that you're trying to figure out where to go with them, they have a website and you can type in, you know, electronic waste or paint or what have you, and they can give you a list of all the places to go with it. For electronics specifically, there are three places that if it can be refurbished, they can try to refurbish it. So the one is Cincinnati Computer Reuse that I mentioned, and they will take computers, laptops, Chromebooks, kind of accessories, so mice, speakers, extra hard drives, etc. If they can repair it, they will repair it, and then they have those available for purchase. And we specifically target low-income and individuals and nonprofits. Like last year, we had, I think it was about 480 computers that we refurbished and resold. And then about 160 of those went to low-income individuals and nonprofits. And anything that we can't fix, or if it's too old, that it just, you know, there's a security issue or what have you, or we couldn't get parts, then that just gets recycled. And we use responsible recyclers, so you don't have to worry about your security for all of your data that's on the devices. There's also Cincinnati Reuse and Recycling Hub, which is down in Lower Price Hill, and they have what's called a tinker team. So they work, I think it's 2 days every month, and they try to repair sort of whatever comes in that they can. So it could be a fan, it could be a blender, it could be a radio, and they try to get, you know, parts. They kind of do a little cannibalism of other, you know, items that come in if they need a part to try to get something to work again. But again, if it's something that they can't fix, then that can be recycled, and they again use responsible recyclers. There's also Reboot Electronics. So they have 24/7 just collection places around the city, some even in Northern Kentucky. And you can look again on Hamilton County's website for where those are. And they will take things, again, if they can refurbish them, they will. If not, they'll recycle them. There are other places that will take working places or working items. So Goodwill, St. Vincent de Paul, Habitat for Humanity, Restore. But those really need to be in working condition so that they can be resold at those different thrift stores. And then just there are other recyclers, again, on the Hamilton County Resource site. So there's Cohen. That's kind of one of the bigger ones. There's IT Supply Systems in Florence. There's Tri-State E-Scrap. That's kind of over in Harrison, Ross area. And they, again, will take things, but that's sort of an end of life issue. If you can't go anywhere else with them, they will take those. But it's better to try kind of one of the places that could refurbish them because they can decide, okay, this really is dead, or we can still get a little bit of life out of this and then have that last another couple years maybe.
Yeah. Sounds like good advice. Rachel, we all want the lowest possible price for the stuff we buy, too. What's the correlation between price and durability or repairability, or is there a correlation there?
From my reporting, I found that there was a correlation between price wars in like the past decade as new brands from other countries have brought products to the United States. And those price wars meant that brands here were trying to lower their prices as much as possible. And experts told me that that affected repairability because that is one way. We were talking about a little bit earlier, like how you can't open the back of a phone. It's kind of similar with appliances. Like they made them a little bit harder to repair so that they could lower the price. It didn't affect durability per se, but it did definitely affect repairability, which means it won't last as long.
Mike, is that true for some of the other devices that you work with? Does the price have an impact on repairability, durability? Is it one of these you get what you pay for situations or not?
With laptops and desktops, I don't think it really affects repairability. I mean, ideally, you should expect to get 5 years of good use out of a laptop or desktop. That's typically what we expect when we're purchasing for clients. Out of a cell phone, you know, ideally you want to get like 3 or 5 out of that. It all comes down to what you're using it for as well. If you're just someone that's just browsing the web or sending emails, you know, you can get beyond that. You can get 6-7 years of life out of a laptop if that's all you're doing, versus someone who's gaming or doing video editing who will see greater performance increases. Gosh. Sooner.
Kind of like if you're only driving your car to church on Sunday versus going on big long road trips. Okay, that makes sense. Well, Rachel, in just a few seconds, my husband believes strongly that the more complicated any machine is, whether it's a washing machine or a bandsaw, the more problems it'll cause. Is that what you found too?
He is 100% right. That is totally accurate. However, I think it's a trade-off, right? The simpler your machine is, the longer it'll last, but the less it will do for you. And a lot of us really like features, including a digital display of what temperature your oven is at, or a timer, or, you know, a notification, all of which count as features. But he's accurate.
Okay. He'll be so glad to hear that. Well, I've been talking with senior writer for the New York Times Wire Cutter, Rachel Wharton, Riparo infrastructure engineer, Mike Kennett, and Sustainability Central coordinator, Colleen McSwiggin. Thank you all so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition at WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. Rob Fetters composed our theme music, and if you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.